Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Fine, Andrew. It's good to talk to you as always.
Same. Quick timestamp. This is Friday, March 8th, and it's about 45 minutes after payrolls came out. So I guess we can start with payrolls and what's your big takeaway? It looks like a pretty interesting number, and assuming risk or market risk is going to be mostly pretty positive, but what are your takeaways?
That the Fed must have an incredibly positive karma because this is a dream of every central banker. Strong expansion, no inflation. I mean, we have a headline number of 275K, probably going to get revised down, but still huge. And yet, wage growth slowed to 10 basis points. So continued combination of strong expansion, but no inflation. I mean, obviously, we have yet to see how this wage number translates into inflation, especially core services inflation. But that's, low wage growth was one necessary condition for the Fed to cut. So we've passed a hurdle. And more broadly, as an economist, I look and I wonder, it's unbelievable. This combination of fast growth and low inflation. And to me, it gives a measure of the disruption created by the pandemic. So it's great for the Fed and it's very positive for risk assets, in my view. And if you look at more details, okay, yes, unemployment is up 20 basis points, but still below long-term unemployment, Sam's rule not in a danger territory. Just the labor market going back to balance.
Okay. And then is it like it's just a statistical thing, but if labor force participation has actually ticked down a tiny bit, and payrolls were strong, why did the unemployment rate go up?
So so the NFP has two surveys. One is a payroll surveys and where you get wages and payroll. And that one has a 90% confidence interval of about 100,000. So this is a good one. Then the second one, the household surveys that gives you unemployment. This one has a 90% confidence interval of about 300,000. So it's a very noisy data. Often you get strange things. Last month we had a contraction in both labor supply and employment. So God knows. But the direction, is clear if you look at the past 6 months of unemployment. I mean, we had a low at 3.4%, I think about a year ago. And we've been climbing back to something more sustainable, very gently. So this is the Goldilocks economy is still alive. And for the Fed, they are just, I mean, I think they can claim some of the credit, but they are also very lucky.
I mean, again, I think we've talked about in the past, this kind of data, this kind of level of employment, the fact that the incumbent president is struggling, it is amazing. But I think there's other,
It's basic, in my view, it's a real wage. And that's been my frustration with all the liberals saying people don't know what's good for them. Well, liberals don't look at real wage stats until about a year ago, they were contracting. If you look at the Fed survey of household financial well-being, it's all in there. People have been struggling to pay the bills. And it's only now that wages are catching up on prices. So no mystery. Let's see how we still have what 9 months to go before the election. So let's see how things shake out. But to me, people's unhappiness makes total sense.
Okay, great. And then I guess other data points from the past week, Powell and other Fed members' speeches or takeaways? Any strong thoughts there?
Not strong thoughts. I think Powell was very consistent. He said, we need more data to be confident that this inflation is continuing. I noted a few FOMC members getting a bit of cold feet on cuts, like President Bostick thinking that if the Fed cuts, there would be such once there would be such an overreaction that inflation would start could start picking up again. President Kashkari now th was thinking one or two 2024 cuts. A month ago he was at two to three, but I think this data, today's data, is probably going to reassure them. So the bottom line is the market was pricing June. I think June pricing has probably increased after
It looks
the
like, yeah, I'm just looking at WIRP, so it's a little bit over one cut by June.
yeah, I don't think May cut is likely because between the March between now and May we only have two more PC prints, and remember for the Fed it's about more good data. Unless we have a collapse in inflation, signs of impending recession, a complete crisis in the banking system, unless these things happen, and they are not impossible, but they are not likely, I think two more PC print is not enough for the Fed. That's why I think June is more likely.
Right. And if we put it down to like specifics on probabilities, your probability for a hike in June or by June
You mean a cut?
is, sorry, a cut by June is what?
Oh, I would say two-thirds, 75%. It's a solid base case, and the risk are skewed more towards later cut than earlier ones for the reasons I've just explained.
Right. And then a June cut and a July cut to sneak that in before without getting too close to the election makes kind of sense to you.
I've been going back and forth on this issue of elections, and based on the Fed speak and Fed action, I actually think they won't care. I think given how worried they are, of cutting too soon, I think they are more likely to leave a gap. So to cut every other meeting,
See how it goes, right?
yeah, unless things really fall apart, which I'm not seeing at the
Won't see
moment.
it, right? Okay, great. All right, let's quickly hop in on the or target the week ahead.
Sure.
What's your obviously we're going to assume probably it's going to be pretty today will be pretty positive for markets or risk certainly equities in the U.S. So for next week, what are the key events? Data points, speeches, etc.
So, I mean, it's a CPI and PPI week. So, by the end of the week, we will know where PC is likely to come out. The market consensus all seem reasonable to me. That said, the headline number doesn't give you where PC is likely to be because you have little data quirks like medical services, very different in CPI and PCE. You have to look at PPI. Basically, you need to look under the hood of the releases to have a sense of where PCE is likely to come out. Other than that, we'll have retail sales. The consensus is a rebound. We had a very weak number last month. To be honest, I wasn't particularly swayed by that number. It's volatile. Retail sales are only a fraction of total consumption. To me, the biggest and I mean the more important indicator and the more timely one also is a wage bill growth that comes out of the NFP because it tracks household income very closely, and with savings very stable, the savings rate very stable. Once you have labor income, you have household income, you have consumption, and consumption basically tells you where the economy is at. I mean, the US is 70% consumption. So this retail sale is important. I agree with the consensus that sees a rebound. Other than that, we will have the University of Michigan consumer confidence number. The consensus sees a survey moving sideways. Possible, given that confidence survey is more influenced by inflation numbers. If inflation is really slowing, we could have a positive surprise there. Other than that, we will get business surveys, the Empire, which is a New York Fed manufacturing survey, which has had a lot of data issues since the pandemic, so very noisy number, an FIB survey, where I'll be looking for a stabilization of the hard data part of the survey rather than the opinion part. Industrial production consensus is no change, and I agree. Industrial production is going nowhere. We have this extraordinary expansion of construction of factories, you know, due to the administration industrial policy, but we are not seeing an expansion in manufacturing production. And then, of course, the jobless claims. But as again, I think it's going to be a May release because the labor market, as we see, is still super strong.
Right. Okay. Awesome. Last one, just for headline grab. What do you think of this potential like TikTok ban or divestiture from the Chinese parent? Do you think? Because I don't understand, they talked about this before, and then a lot of people, I don't know, maybe even more left, that saw this as an affront against young people, even though a lot of people view this as something else. But is there a lot more bipartisan support now for this?
Well, it's a bipartisan bill. I forgot what's the number, but just about.
It said like 50 to zero on whatever, at least on the
committee
group that recommended it.
Yeah. I mean, all I can say is China bashing is definitely one topic where we have bipartisan consensus. How it will tilt the race, I'm not sure. Probably not having much of an impact. So from a macro perspective, no direct impact on our inflation, more a sense of a future policy direction, which is the same whether we get another Biden administration or a second Biden administration.
Right. I know that Liang, Mirza, and even Neo were looking at some, like, I guess, like post-election dollar China upside ideas, which I think there doesn't seem like a rush, obviously, with elections still quite ways away, but those could be interesting trades. And I know vol skew is pretty low. And if Trump does win and is very aggressive on tariffs, that could be a significant impact, or one way to offset it, obviously, would be a much weaker currency. So I guess that's something to look out for.
Definitely. In fact, my elections monitor has a chart showing the relationship between Trump's odds of winning and the slope of the CNY option.
That's cool. So talk about a good segue. That is definitely worth checking out. I'll just quickly go through a few of the pieces of
just one more thing, and we need to make a pitch for Sam's model, because he was spot on, and his models, his inflation and FP models are really working well.
That is a great point. So 100%, a lot of people talk about the AI and or ask us about the AI model work that we're doing, and this prediction model that we've implemented, well, Sam's implemented, that has been amazing. And the feedback we've gotten is fantastic. I would implore all of our pro clients to actively read that stuff. And if you guys had feedback on how we can better deliver it, how we can look at other ways of incorporating which assets could be most impacted around backtesting, very happy to hear all those ideas and would encourage that. Just quickly going through some of the ideas, some of the pieces from this past week, the Henry's developed market rates PCA model, the performance is now for open trades are now 90% in the money. So that is certainly worth 100% checking out. Getting great feedback on the China growth tracker, or the updated China growth tracker with much more real-time inputs that we have in that. People are finding it very useful. Again, like the Global Rates Weekly, highlighting all the trades we have and some of the stuff that we've been taking profit on, which was especially on the back end, obviously looks like that was pretty good timing. On FX trades, you know, we had this long dollar bias. We closed that long dollar bias. We did also move recently on the EM FX side to a bearish dollar view versus EM, more high beta, high yielding ones. And that looks like probably a pretty good trade today. Euro Swiss, that trade has continued to perform very well. We moved up our stop loss. Some question, Dominique, you get a great piece on will the residential recovery end disinflation? And there's a lot of great pieces this week. So I recommend everyone to check that out. And obviously any feedback, as we always like to say. Dominique, thank you so much for everything. And any parting words?
No, good luck, everybody. Please send us feedback, negative feedback, especially helpful. So yes, I hope we get to hear from our listeners.
Great. Okay. Good luck, everyone. Have a nice weekend too, or a week ahead, if as you get on the weekend. Thanks. Bye.